You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 2nd of June, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rushjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. Are you there?
I am here.
Good man, good man. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I was saying before, Lyudmila Desanova, who was the human rights ombudsman in Ukraine, was fired for making up stories about Russian atrocities and for not taking advantage of Russian humanitarian corridors, which is a deadly serious matter. And she's not being replaced. And believe it or not, she's not an American. So that's a bit of good news. That happened yesterday, I think.
Well, that is good news, Matt. I'm just having a few technical issues here. I'm hoping we can get things sorted, but let's get into what we want to be talking about today, which is cyber warfare with Russia. U.S. Cyber Command specialists were deployed to Ukraine and conducted offensive operations against Russia, its commander and NSA Director General Paul Nakasone said on Wednesday. In an interview with Sky News on the sidelines of a cyber conference in Estonia, Nakasone also revealed that US eavesdroppers conduct information warfare with the help of corporate media such as CNN. Nakasone, a four-star general, heads both the Cyber Command and the National Security Agency out of Fort Meade, Maryland. He was in Tallinn on Wednesday for SciCon, the 14th International Conference on Cyber Conflict hosted by NATO. In the interview with Sky, the general said U.S. cyber specialists have been deployed to 16 overseas countries at the invitation of their allied governments to hunt forwards, which means to seek out foreign hackers and identify the tools that they use. We went in December 2021 at the invitation of the Kiev government to come and hunt with them. We stayed there for a period of almost 90 days, Nakasone said. This team left Ukraine in February along with all other U.S. troops ahead of the Russian incursion. Nakasone also confirmed for the very first time, according to Sky, that the US was conducting offensive hacking operations in support of Ukraine. According to the general, the difference between Russian and US information warfare is that Moscow lies while Washington tells the truth. As an example, he cited a 2020 case of troll farms he said Russia was developing in Africa. The NSA and Cyber Command responded by informing the FBI, but also CNN, which provided a flashlight that suddenly exposes this type of malicious behavior. In December 2020, Facebook announced a purge of accounts, allegedly both Russian and French, suspected of coordinated inauthentic behavior in Central and Northern Africa. So the important thing here is that they are admitting that they're working with CNN. Basically, they are putting out false stories. And that's basically what their cyber warfare is working with the help of corporate media in order to basically smear Russia. That's what I'm getting from this, Matt. What do you know about this?
Well, it's shocking. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time, but to now admit it and to fully admit that, you know, the media, especially CNN, is just an arm of the CIA or the NSA. It wasn't that long ago. They denied this all over the place. Frankfurt in Germany has a CIA base. That's where the hacking is located in Europe, and they have satellite offices all over the place. And this is one of the reasons that they ordered Zelensky. Of course, Ukraine has not been an independent country in a long time. They ordered him to shut down all pro-Russian media in the country for the sake of avoiding this being exposed. And the pattern seems to be that we make a well-founded accusation. The denials are screeching, and, you know, people get arrested. And then a year or so later, they fully admit that we were right all along. And that seems to be how it goes. We'll be saying the same thing about the nuclear program in Ukraine, chemical program in Ukraine. It's going to be common knowledge in a few years once the damage is already been done. But this admission, not so much that they were offensively using these serious sniper weapons, but that they're doing it in Africa and elsewhere with and through the assistance of CNN. That's really the big admission here.
Well, CNN are also extremely left-wing, aren't they? You know, you would think that the government is unbiased, it's not left-wing or right-wing, the CIA, and yet here they are working with one of the most left-wing outlets that there is out there. Well, Nakasone said that the NSA and Cybercon have been developing this strategic disclosure since 2018 when he took over as the leader of both. As other examples, he said the NSA also put forth information about what the Russians were trying to do in our midterm elections in 2018 as well as in 2020. Moscow has denied any meddling in US elections, electronic or otherwise. The ability for us to share that information, being able to ensure it's accurate and it's timely and it's actionable on a broader scale, has been very, very powerful in this crisis, he said. US intelligence officials admitted to NBC News in April that they have leaked intelligence to the media about the conflict in Ukraine that was either not rock solid or was outright made up on multiple occasions in order to win an info war against Russia. The misinformation was part of an effort to undermine Moscow's propaganda and prevent Russia from defining how the war is perceived in the world, they said. So they're basically admitting making fake news, as far as Russia is concerned, something that they keep accusing Russia of. And it basically must be admitting that Russia is winning the info war. They can't have people hearing the truth of what Russia is saying. So they want to just have blanket coverage telling the opposite. And this is why they're silencing all these Russian outlets, is so that nobody can actually hear the other side of the story, which actually makes a lot more sense than the American one. What do you think of what they're saying here? It's quite amazing that they're admitting it, isn't it, Matt?
It really is. And we'll talk a little bit later about why that is. But the man just said that the U.S. tells the truth while Russia lies. And then two paragraphs later, he says that, oh, yes, we made up stories and we shut down the media. And you mentioned you had another point that, you know, people, especially the U.S. patriot types, think the state is not on one side or the other. Now, we've known that's false for a long time, but the 2016, the most recent presidential election, proves that since all the purges of the military, the purges of the bureaucracy in the U.S., the state is outwardly leftist in an extreme sort of way. Globalization, Zionist, and over the last 15 years, high ranks have been purged. We've talked about that in great detail. And so this man, Nakasone, is a placeholder. He's a politician rather than an actual general, because of first-rate officers, a colonel and up in the U.S., have been purged who disagree with this kind of thing. So as always, there's so much cognitive dissonance here where he has to say, yes, we're making things up and we're using the media for this, and they never question anything because they're on our side, but Russia is the one who lies. And cognitive dissonance, unless he's a sociopath, is very hard to live with. But that's really what's happening here. They're admitting this. The U.S. doesn't have what it takes to be an empire. They don't have the military or the money or the economy. So they need to use dirty tricks to maintain this illusion of global supremacy that they have. And this could be very dangerous if it hits a civilian, nuclear reactor, if it hits power grids. This can have many casualties attached to it.
There's just no separation anymore, is there, between the corporations and the government? I mean, the CNN, we used to refer to it as the Clinton News Network. I mean, this explains why there was all this nonsense about Russia meddling in the elections and otherwise Clinton would have won. And also it explains why Clinton was just let off, doesn't it? You've got this connection here between the CIA, between CNN, and also between the progressive left, basically, in the American government. Well, speaking in Tallinn, Estonia, the general, who is also the director of the National Security Agency, told Sky News that he is concerned every single day about the risk of a Russian cyber attack targeting the US, and said that the Hunt Forward activities were an effective way of protecting both America as well as her allies. General Nakasone confirmed for the first time that the US was conducting offensive hacking operations in support of Ukraine in response to the Russian invasion. He told Sky News, "We've conducted a series of operations across the full spectrum, offensive, defensive, and information operations." The four-star general did not detail the activities, but explained how they were lawful, conducted with complete civilian oversight of the military, and through policy direct decided at the Department of Defense. "My job is to provide a series of options to the Secretary of Defense and the President, and so that is what I do," he said. He declined to describe those options. "We had an opportunity to start talking about what particularly the Russians were trying to do in our midterm elections. We saw it again in 2020 as we talked about what the Russians and Iranians were going to do, but this was on a smaller scale." So I think what he's really doing here is saying, well, we were talking about this. We were blaming the Russians for the way the election went, and we were prepared to do the same with the Iranians if the election had gone the other way in 2020. He's just admitted that that's what they're doing. So, I mean, all of these accusations that Russia is meddling in the elections is just part of the info war. It's not hacking at all. It's basically putting out fake news and putting it out on the, under the guise of having something to do with cyber warfare. I think it's two different issues, really, Matt. Don't you think? Fake news and hacking?
Yeah, they're related, but definitely distinct. And you think of, you know, how the military is, how the like NBC and CNN are reporting on the war. Well, they're not on the ground. They're not allowed to be, nor do they want to be. And so it's gone even beyond embedding journalists. They're simply going to the Defense Department, the Pentagon, and getting their press releases and then running it as news. We all know this, but this is one of the, especially in this case, you can't believe a word they say. Making things up is normal. But here now you have the military. Of course, I've been saying this for a long time, but the military and this, you know, politician, I mean, you don't get to be a four-star general in the U.S. Army unless you're a leftist in one form or another, or at least a neocon, which is the same thing. They just want to kill more people. And he's contradicting himself all over the place. But this is how CNN and NBC get their stories. They're not there writing on a notebook what's happening in front of them. They wouldn't know anyway. They're simply taking press releases here, made up, part of this whole cyber warfare program, and running it as news. And for some reason, a lot of Americans can't grasp it. They don't understand. They don't understand how this could possibly be. But I think after the last two presidential elections, everything's changed. And people not so much are waking up, but they understand that it's simply not trustworthy. Now you have the military being a part of this. It suggests that, you know, 2020 was a coup. A lot of people have been saying that now for some time, because the military and the FBI and the CIA were involved in playing dirty tricks on the Trump administration. The election system is completely fraudulent. This senile Weekend at Bernie's guy here in the Oval Office has no legitimacy. I think he's aware to some extent he has no legitimacy. And it's just the creation of this political monopoly. And remember, you had guys getting thrown out of school, losing their jobs for saying just what this general is saying right now. And that really seems to be the ordinary pattern here. But that means the Russians have been right all along. I've been right all along. You can't trust anything that comes out of that part of the world. You know, and this makes Johnson's law even more sharp.
Well, it used to be called psychological operations. Now it's cyber warfare. And it's basically just taking control of the media and telling outright lies about what's going on the other side of the world. Well, General Nakasone disagreed with commentators who suggested that the cyber aspects of the Russian assault on Ukraine had been overblown, and praised the Kiev government and defenders for their resilience. If you ask the Ukrainians, they wouldn't say it's been overblown. If you take a look at the destructive attacks and disruptive attacks that they've encountered, you wrote about it in terms of the attack on the satellite company Viasat. This is something that has been ongoing, he added. The general continued, and we've seen this with regards to the attack on their satellite systems, wiper attacks that have been ongoing, disruptive attacks against their government processes. This is kind of the piece that I think sometimes is missed by the public. It isn't like they haven't been very busy. They've been incredibly busy. And I think, you know, their resilience is perhaps the story that is most intriguing to all of us. Asked how high the risk was of Russian attacks targeting the US, General Nakasone said, "We remain vigilant every single day. Every single day, I think about it all the time. This is why we are working with a series of partners to ensure we prevent that, not only against the United States, but against our allies as well, he added. General Nakasone praised the partnerships between democratic states as a key strategic benefit. Cyber Command specialists have been deployed abroad to 16 other nations, where they can seek intelligence from the allies' computer networks, always on a consensual invitation basis, General Nakasone said. Crucial to how Hunt Forward works is Cyber Command sharing the intelligence they find with the host nation. If you're an adversary and you've just spent a lot of money on a tool and you're hoping to utilize it readily in a number of different intrusions, suddenly it's outed and it's now been signatured across a broad range of networks and suddenly you've lost your ability to do that, the general said. Well, looking at this, what he's saying is the same news, the same fake news that's being put out by CNN is also going to be put out by these other 16 nations. And I dare say these 16 other nations are also going to ban Russian news, so there's no balanced viewpoint at all, and 90% of the population is just believing a fantasy that's been put out by the mainstream media. What do you know about these 16 other nations and what he's saying here, Matt?
Well, it's not a huge surprise. Back in 2017, WikiLeaks exposed a lot of this. One of the reasons that this guy's admitting this now is because you have like something like 8,000 pages of documents explaining just how bad and how corrupt this cyber warfare division is. As of now, actually even then, they had something like 5,000 registered employees, which means it's much higher than that. Russia and China don't have a tenth of this. And this is how the empire is being maintained. These other countries, democratic means both liberal and under American control. That's what democratic means. Because when someone else, as you mentioned, someone else gets elected they don't like, it's non-democratic. Therefore, it has nothing to do with elections. It has to do with electing the right person. And it's been a code word that we've been talking about for a very long time. So that's the reason why this is suddenly now on the agenda and why he's admitted this and given his marching orders. And the intelligence, and I've been going like this for a while now, that the intelligence of the average American military officer is extremely low since the purges. These guys have no creativity. They're trained in a bureaucratic apparatus, which now, as he fully admits, is part of the leftist globalist world order, which, of course, we've already known. I mean, we could show people, the normies this article, and they still won't grasp it. They still can't understand how there was a coup in 2020 and military media complex, banking complex, took over directly and openly. But again, this is how in foreign policy operations – they don't have these foreign correspondents. That's history. They simply go to the Pentagon or they go to Amnesty International and report. They don't go to the Russian embassy. They don't go to anyone else. And talking about this being invited in, these are mostly colonial governments anyway, so it's meaningless. But Nova Russia or Donetsk invited the Russian military in too. Crimea invited the Russian military in and Syria. Years ago, invited the Russian military in. So apparently, that argument didn't work then, so it isn't going to work now. And it just goes to show that the American empire, although it's officially leftist in all respects, really doesn't have core principles. Because they'll throw those out the window, like with the Azov battalion. They'll throw those out the window the minute it becomes inconvenient. So even ideology is always going to be leftist, but you're always going to see these frayed edges here. And when it comes to day-to-day operations, there are no principles. It's purely Machiavelli. And the enemies of this regime have to start learning that quickly.
Well, it seems Donald Trump actually had something to do with the CIA getting to this position. The effort to destabilize Russia continued under the outlier President Trump. He gave the CIA carte blanche to launch cyber attacks on Russia. The secret authorization, known as a presidential finding, gives the spy agency more freedom in both the kinds of operations it conducts and who it targets, undoing many restrictions that have been in place under prior administrations. The finding allows the CIA to more easily authorize its own covert cyber operations, rather than requiring the agency to get approval from the White House, reported Yahoo News in 2020. The very aggressive finding gave the agency very specific authorities to really take the fight offensively to a handful of adversarial countries, said a former US government official. These countries include Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, which are mentioned directly in the document. But the finding potentially applies to others as well, according to another former official. The White House wanted a vehicle to strike back, said the second former official, and this was the way to do it. Those of us who study history and geopolitics know the CIA has had a free hand to conduct subversion and surveillance activities around the world and at home despite its charter. When the CIA was created in 1947, members of Congress who feared the establishment here of the type of domestic surveillance apparatus that the Allies had just defeated in Germany insisted that the new CIA have no role in American law enforcement and no legal ability to spy within the US. The legislation creating the CIA contains those limitations, writes Andrew Napolitano. Populations from at least 25 countries were denied the right to choose their own leaders, writes Thomas Swam. This is perhaps the main reason why America is hated so much around the world. The excuse given by CIA supporters is that Soviet influence over certain governments had to be curtailed. However, in many cases, no proof of Russian activity was ever found. The CIA had taken to dismantling any leftist or anti-US government, regardless of the regime's domestic or foreign support. Well, that seems to have turned around now, Matt. It seems that it's any right-wing government that they seem to be against that they're trying to subvert. I'm particularly thinking of Hungary and Poland before this conflict. What do you make of what this this writer, Thomas Swan, has to say here?
Well, he doesn't seem to know what leftist means. Because the media is so ignorant, they believe that any country who opposes, you know, the total economic takeover of their society by American corporations is leftist. In other words, socialist of some kind or another. You have people like, you know, Velasco in the military leader in Peru that I've written about. I mean, he was a national socialist, but they call him a leftist because he wanted to throw American corporations out. So a leftist is a nationalist, and this is one of the ways they go to these cosmopolitan, stupid middle-class conservatives and say, oh my God, you can't support Russia. It's a leftist country, knowing full well that, of course, that's not there. There's the far better right-wing condemnation of capitalism today than the left ever was able to engage in. But as always, these things are far worse than it's reported. I mean, of course, Trump was just as hard on Russia as anyone else. The media just created this fantasy that somehow they're aligned because he didn't want a nuclear war with Russia. Therefore, he was in Russia's pocket. And that's how bad the media reasons this stuff out. But, you know, he's right about something else. I mean, even before this, since 2001, the CIA has gained this budgetary preeminence over the National Security Agency. And they're at each other's throat all the time. They've created their own private state within a state with this fleet of hackers. And as he mentions, and this also was in the WikiLeaks press release, because they've created this very separate institution, they don't have to report. Even if they had to report it to the NSA, they wouldn't anyway. What are they going to do about it? So you had 5,000 registered users with the hacking program, the Center for Cyber Intelligence, in Langley here and, of course, in Frankfurt in Germany. So let's say by 2016, the CIA's hackers, who are responsible to nobody, had utilized more code than that which is used to run Facebook. So the CIA created its own NSA with much less accountability and without having to publicly answer any question as to whether any this massive budgetary outlay in duplicating the capacities of the NSA could even remotely be justified. And I've spoken at great length how these budgets are mostly secret. And even if they weren't, it doesn't matter. These guys don't have to listen to anything. Whatever was left in terms of basic law controlling the CIA, the Constitution as a whole, was destroyed over the last 20 years. As Joe Sobrin used to say, the American Constitution is no longer a barrier to the American way of life. And so it really doesn't matter what the law happens to say. They're going to do as they please. No one has any idea how much money the Pentagon has, the reserves it has all over the world. Even they don't. They can't be audited. They've lost control of a lot of these Trojans and malware over the years. But it's not an accident that this hit hard in 2016, and then the WikiLeaks leak with almost 9,000 documents came out in March of 17. Because this is where the CIA, the FBI, declared war on Donald Trump and therefore nationalism and traditionalism of any sort whatsoever, despite the fact that Trump was anti-Russia and fanatically pro-Israel. It's not enough. you have to want war and nonstop war with Russia. Otherwise, you're considered pro-Russian. I mean, that's the level of intelligence that these people are dealing with now.
Well, despite all their misgivings about Trump, it does appear that he gave them the go-ahead to do this. The CIA, following Trump's presidential finding, engaged in a new round of computer and network subversion against Russia and Iran. The 2018 finding gave a green light to the CIA to wipe or dump hacked banking data and target foreign intelligence services, media organizations, charities, religious institutions, or other non-state entities for disruptive or destructive cyber actions, according to a report posted at Axios. In fact, Trump's finding was little more than a formality. In addition to overthrowing elected governments, the CIA has engaged in assassination, the distribution of heroin and cocaine, and making certain local officials, most notably state governors, are on board with the establishment's program. See former Governor Jesse Ventura explains that CIA embedded in many state governments. Recently, we have noted a significant increase in attempts to inflict harm on Russia's informational systems from external forces. Nikolai Patrushev, Secretary of Russia's Security Council, told the Rossiyskaya Gazeta daily in January of 2017, prior to the US election. Patrushev said the Obama administration had deliberately ignored the fact that the main internet servers complicit in the attacks are based on the territory of the United States and are used by Washington for intelligence and other purposes aimed at retaining its global domination. In short, the intelligence apparatus of the US was engaged in subverting Russia's computer networks and those in China, Iran, and North Korea years before the current crisis in Ukraine and the contested US election. This was accomplished under the bogus assertion that Putin and Russia colluded with the Trump team to get him elected, thus painting the real estate magnate as a Russian tool. The US CIA's hacking unit has been conducting attacks over the last 11 years on Chinese aviation firms, technology companies, oil sector companies, and other critical industries, Emily Fang, a correspondent in Beijing, told NPR in 2021. China, Russia, North Korea, Israel, and other nations have probed the networks of adversaries for years and may have indeed engaged in cyber attacks. However, as WikiLeaks discovered in 2017, the CIA is at the forefront of this activity. Its sophisticated arsenal of cyber attack tools include malware, viruses, trojans, weaponized zero-day exploits, malware remote control systems, according to WikiLeaks' Vault 7 archive of documents purloined from the CIA. And if I remember correctly, they also had one tool there that disguised where the source of the attack was coming from. And if that, I mean, if people have access to that, then how can the CIA say that this attack is coming from Russia when they themselves have the technology to make it appear as if the attack is coming from anywhere in the world? I mean, it seems to me that even with that, they can tell that these attacks are actually coming out of America and out of Washington's servers, and it was Russia that was accused of doing this, and yet it was coming out from America's servers. What do you make of what they have to say here, Matt?
Well, that's nothing more than the media running interference and cover for either the NSA or the CIA, and we know even the FBI's role in trying to destroy Trump. Unfortunately, as much as I respected him for a lot of what he did, he was way out of his depth when it came in. He was a real estate guy, and he comes in facing this incredible array of hostile and openly evil forces. And that was the struggle. All of this seems to be based on the ridiculous story of the Russian election interference. To this day, the NSA, I've read all the NSA documents. They don't even say what they did. The accusations aren't even clear. It's just this vague media repetition over and over again of a Russian election interference, because there's no way Trump could ever be elected, honestly. And in fact, that had nothing to do with the election. It had to do with the primary. Anyway, you know, it came from Hillary, just was, you know, went to CNN and they started it. But this was nothing more than running interference, because the U.S. has been doing this, especially to China, for years and years. You know, the Chinese and the Russians have so much American currency, they could crash the American economy if they wanted to. On the other hand, the U.S. has to gain entry electronically into their power grid so they can do the same on the other side. So it's a mutually assured destruction sort of thing. And when you go through the WikiLeaks dump, that's a lot of stuff there, you realize that the entire, you know, monopoly media is controlled by this. This is about creating reality It's not truth or falsehood. This is creating what people think is real. It's almost a creation of a hypnotic state. And as we've said 100 times, military, government as a whole, private sector, tech companies, universities, it's all one thing now. They all work for – there's an estate and a private sector. And we're admitting right here, even the conference that Nakasone was at in the Baltics was put out by private industry. There is no distinction anymore. And so that means that these corporations, media, are part of the military apparatus and vice versa. And so this is the most serious crisis as far as information is concerned. But the election nonsense came from trying to protect the CIA and NSA from accusations like this. And now, of course, they're admitting that it was all fraudulent all along. But that ridiculous election hack, which was never happened, it's pure mythology, lies at the foundation of all this. And this is why they feel comfortable talking about it out in the open.
Well, it seems to me it's a case of whatever they accuse their enemy of doing is what they're doing themselves. I mean, look at what they tried to do with Lukashenko. Look at what they tried to do with unseating Putin, with, I forget his name now, the guy that they claimed was poisoned. I mean, it's America that interferes in other people's elections and then basically turns around and claims that Russia is doing it to themselves. Well, let's have a look here at what's going on at the moment. Washington's arming of Ukraine with heavier weapons increases the risk of direct U.S.-Russia confrontation, regardless of American statements about mitigating such a possibility, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said on Wednesday. The diplomat was commenting on the news that the U.S. has decided to supply HIMARS multiple rocket launchers to Ukraine. Washington has insisted that the weapon system will not allow Ukrainian forces to attack Russia, and argues it prevents a scenario in which Moscow would consider the US a party to the conflict. We're not providing any weapons that will allow the Ukrainians to attack Russia from inside of Ukraine, and President Joe Biden has been very clear on that, US Representative to the UN Linda Thomas-Greenfield said of the deliveries. We're not going to become a party to the war. Ryabkov disagreed with the rationale, saying the US was making the conflict more dangerous. Any arms supplies which continue and escalate increase the risk of such a development, Ryabkov told journalists, referring to the possibility of a direct confrontation between Russia and the US. The diplomat added that the US for years has done nothing to prevent an escalation of tensions with Russia over Ukraine. It stonewalled Moscow's last-ditch attempts to negotiate a legally binding deal that would have addressed Russian concerns over NATO expansion in Europe, he pointed out. After open hostilities broke out in February, the remnants of a healthy attitude to the situation were shattered, he said. Washington maintains its course of what we characterized many times as an intention to wage war to the last Ukrainian, which reflects the goal of inflicting, as they say themselves, the strategic defeat of Russia. This is unprecedented and this is dangerous, Ryabkov said. The latest ramping up of arms supplies to Ukraine does not fundamentally alter the situation. It only raises the risks, he stated. And Joe Biden is saying, well, the Ukrainians have given me their word they're not going to use these weapons against Russia. And yet all along that border there, we're hearing of missiles hitting Russian villages and people losing their lives because of Ukraine attacking Russia. Of course they're going to attack Russia with these weapons. And according to Joe Biden, it's not going to happen, though, because Zelensky gave his word that he wouldn't do that. Matt, what do you make of what's going on here?
Can you imagine being so ignorant, like this Linda Thomas-Greenfield, who's completely incompetent, saying that we're not going to become a party to this war, despite the fact that Ukraine is an arm of Washington and to a lesser extent Brussels? You know, but the important thing to note, and the good news, we could put a period on this, is that Putin's popularity is just a bit over 80%. And Russia now has a trade surplus. They've always had a surplus, but now it's bigger than ever. And just last week, the ruble hit its high in terms of value, despite the media saying the exact opposite. So everything that's going on here is only benefiting Russia and doing even more damage to Europe that was sick to begin with. And this might just be its death blow. And this is all that the regime has left, is lying at these weapons. Surprising, I don't know if they exist. But we just talked about how the media military complex creates reality. There's no functional centralized Ukrainian military organization or government right now. So this is all simply fantasy. No one over there knows how to use some of these systems. I've been saying from the very beginning, it's the invention of reality that doesn't exist. And that's why this show, me and you, and what the work we do is so damn important.
Well, it certainly is, Matt. And thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.